Amen. So, we are going through the Gospel according to John Mark. So if you have your Bibles, please open to chapter 10. Today we're going to finish off chapter 10. And the last few weeks we've been looking at how Jesus has been on this journey, moving from the north towards the south, going towards Jerusalem. And we saw last week that even though Jesus knew why he was going to Jerusalem, he knew why he was going there, he didn't have the attitude that he was going to be sort of like lounging at the back, that he was sort of like dragging his heels in any way. The text tells us that he was out in the front. He was setting pace. He was moving towards his passion. And we see how, well, we saw how he spoke to his disciples and he had told them exactly what had happened to him. So Jesus had told his disciples in Mark chapter 8, 31 and Mark chapter 9, 31 that they were going to Jerusalem. And when he went to Jerusalem, this is exactly what was going to happen to him. And so we just asked the question last week that who else do we know could specifically tell what was going to happen to them in their future? You know, who could tell that? No one can tell that. Only God can tell that. And so Jesus is very, very specific. He says, behold, we are going to Jerusalem. That's the place. And the Son of Man will be betrayed. Okay, he's going to be betrayed by someone. Who's that someone? Jesus. Thank you. All right. And then the chief priests, betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. So the religious leaders who should have been basically looking out for his well-being were going to be the ones who actually he would be betrayed to. And they would end up condemning him. And he will be condemned. So they were going to sort of like somehow create a scenario where illegally, they were going to condemn him and deliver him. So once they had done this, were they the ones who were going to kill him? No. He would then be delivered over to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would be the ones who would go on to further mock him. Did they mock him? Scourge him and spit on him and kill him. So he's being very, very specific about what is going to happen to him. And he's telling this to his disciples. And we considered how that's what? Bad news, right? And did Jesus just stick with the bad news? No, he didn't, because he then gave them the good news. And he says, the third day he will rise again. That is the good news. And after he said these things, we saw how James and John, the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder, they came to him, and what did they ask for? They asked for exalted positions in his new kingdom. So once he's just told them about all this stuff that's going to happen to him, you know, it's like in one ear, out the other, all they're looking for is like, okay, what positions are we going to have within the kingdom of God? And so they basically ask, well, you know what? You know, can we have it that one will sit on your left hand and one would sit on the right hand of your throne? And Jesus said, basically, those positions are not necessarily mine to give right now. You know, they are positions which have been allocated for by the Father. So just thinking about that just a little bit, those positions may have gone, may go to James and John. They may, in my mind, go to, this is what I think, Moses and Elijah. Remember, not too far away, long ago, they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And who was there? Moses and Elijah, see? So, and in the book of Revelation, there's two witnesses, right? And the things what the two witnesses can do are very, very reminiscent of what Moses did and what Elijah did. So it could be those guys. It could be anyone, because we don't know. It could be Joseph. It could be David. It could be Isaiah. It could be Daniel. We don't know. So, but what we do know is that Jesus wanted to give them a lesson in humility. And I've mentioned that what Shirley mentioned earlier about we need to be childlike in our attitude within the kingdom. You know, I see the theme through the last few things we've seen in chapter 10 being humility. suffer the children to come unto me. Why? Because the disciples were trying to prevent them and prevent the parents from coming. Jesus says, no, you have to be childlike in your attitude. And then we have the rich young ruler who gave an impression of humility, but we saw that it was false humility, because when it really came to it, he wasn't prepared to do the things which Jesus asked him to do. And then we see Jesus speaking to his disciples about something major which is going to happen. He's going to be killed. But for some reason, they're not thinking about being humble. They're thinking about positions and what they can get. And so I very much see it being the theme going through all these stories about being humble of heart. You know, and Jesus told them that basically you need to be humble. And if you want to be anything great in the kingdom, then you need to be a servant. You have to have a servant's attitude. And if you want to be great, you need to be a slave. And so that's a big challenge for us as believers, isn't it? Because, you know, who wants to really always have an attitude of servitude, of being a slave, of being someone's doormat? It's like, you know, somebody asks you to go a mile and Jesus says, go an extra mile. You know, but that's what Jesus is saying, isn't it? He's saying, go that extra mile. You know, don't be as the world is. Be, you know, follow the principles of the kingdom. Amen. Right. So now they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Amen. Very easy to follow along, right? And see what's going on. So they came to Jericho. And interestingly, Jericho had two landmarks. There was ancient Jericho, which is where the children of Israel basically marched around and the walls came tumbling down and down and down and the walls came tumbling down. Right. So there's ancient Jericho, and which was in ruins, and there was the new Jericho, if you can call it new Jericho, which is where Herod had basically built a lavish palace. This is where Herod lived. And it was a city filled with palm trees, and so it was called the City of Palms. And when we look at the text where it says that he went out of Jericho, many people look at this and say, well, there's a contradiction in the Bible, because in Luke's account, it says they were coming near to Jericho. But I think because you have ancient Jericho and new Jericho, it clears it up, because, you know, they're about a mile apart from each other. And so they could have been referring to each Jericho, you see. And again, as I mentioned before, when you see little discrepancies in the scriptures, that's not a bad thing. Because if everything's sort of like totally tied up, you could think, well, yeah. But, you know, these minor details, you know, we're not worried about those things. And so Mark records, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, you know, they were now roughly about 18 miles away from Jerusalem. And if so, Jesus has come out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. And so, as I mentioned before, for Jewish males, it was mandatory for them to go to Jerusalem three times a year for the major feast. And so there would have been lots of men, families, making their pilgrimage towards Jerusalem. And so there's a great multitude which is gathered on their way to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And it says that blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road. And he was begging. And this is interesting because unlike the rich young ruler, John Mark basically mentions this person's name. And he says he's Bartimaeus. And so Bar means son of, right? Simon Bar-Joseph.
Right.
So it's Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. And it's interesting because he's called Bartimaeus, which is son of Timaeus. And then it says the son of Timaeus. Does anyone find that interesting? If you don't, just say you don't. I need some feedback over here. Well, I find it interesting because it's like he's called son of Timaeus, but then it says the son of Timaeus. So that's why you repeat in the same thing. I'm just asking the question. Why would you repeat that? And it's believed, and I can't give you chapter and verse for this, but it's believed that Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, basically, because of what happened to him, became sort of like more of a prominent figure within the church. And it was someone who, the people who John Mark is writing to, which are Roman believers, they probably would have known Bartimaeus. They would have potentially could have known his father too. And so it's like, Bartimaeus, you know, Bartimaeus, the son of Bartimaeus. You get it now? And so he's like, Bartimaeus. Yeah, Bartimaeus. It was him. Him? Is he the one who was... Yeah, it was him. Do you see? I can read my Bible like that. I don't know about you guys, but I can see that. Yeah? I cannot give you chapter and verses to make that like in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, but it's quite possible. It's quite possible that on the day of Pentecost, he was there, one of the 120 in the upper room, and he was one of those guys. He could have quite easily been one of those guys. And so, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Now, within this account as well, Matthew's account says that there were two beggars. Okay, so there were two beggars, but for some reason, John Mark is focusing on Bartimaeus. Okay, and as he says, Bartimaeus sat by the road begging. Now, again, because my mind thinks like this, this made me think of he sat there by the road begging, and it made me think of a book by Watchman Nee. And Watchman Nee had a book called Sit, Walk, Stand. And basically, it's speaking about the progression of a believer, really, from you being saved and in a sitting position to now moving, walking, and being able to stand for Christ in that sense. And it made me think of Psalm 1 as well. So the first verse is of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands not in the path of sinners, nor sits not in the seat of the scornful. Can you see the progression there? It's somebody who was first walking, and then they came to a standstill for some reason, and from a standstill they came to sitting, not doing anything. And it's very reminiscent of some of our walk with the Lord, isn't it? That there's seasons where we're very much walking with the Lord, and we're standing for Christ. But there's also seasons where we kind of like get a bit like deflated, and we're not necessarily standing for Christ. We're not necessarily walking, and we get a bit lazy, apathetic, backsliding, if we can say that word as well. And it's like, you know, we're sitting. Don't look at me like that. Can I get a witness? Has anybody experienced that? So it's very much like that. But he's sitting, and he was sitting there because basically he was blind. He's physically blind, he's living in darkness. And we're going to sort of like try and throw around the ideas. Yeah, he's physically blind, but he's spiritually blind too. And how he became blind, the text doesn't tell us. But we know that blind people during this time, or anyone with a disability, were considered to be pretty much the lowest of the low. And the Jews thought that they were in this, they had this condition, they were in this position because of sin within their life. Or it may not necessarily be because of sin within their life, but sin in their parents' life. Do you remember when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" See, they can't associate it like that. And so during this time, the people didn't have much sympathy or empathy for anyone who was in such a position. And so we have Bartimaeus here. And just like any other day, he's sitting by the roadside, because the roadside is a prime spot, right? It would have been a prime spot. It's a bit like when you come at the train station or you go to the cash point and there's usually someone sat right there sort of like looking for alms. Yeah. The roadside is prime spot right here. And he was hoping to receive some form of generosity from anyone whose heart was moved towards him. And the interesting thing about Bartimaeus today, on this day, was that he didn't know that it wasn't going to be like any other day he would ever experience. And verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So you may have seen a little movement within this verse. You may have seen a little movement. But he was sitting by the roadside, but now he's heard something. He's heard. What does the scripture tell us about hearing? It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now he's heard something. He's heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth who was passing by. And we can only presume from his response that he had heard things about Jesus before. We can only presume that. You know, he heard something about this person called Jesus who was from a place called Nazareth. And what he heard must have been good things. So the crowd said to him that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by. But what does Bartimaeus call Jesus? He doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He doesn't say that. He says Jesus, Son of David. So in his mind, he's thinking, you lot might be thinking it's Jesus of Nazareth passing by, but you know what? I know that it's Jesus, Son of David, who is passing by. It's Jesus, the Messiah. I know that. He got that witness. And so he cried out. And as he cried out, the many, it says in verse 48, they warned him, "Bruv, you better be quiet, you know. I don't know how to say, shut up, be quiet. What's wrong with you? It doesn't want anything to do with you. You're a blind beggar. Stay there." Read into it, however he said it. But the many warned him to be quiet. And they sternly did it, because the language says that they sternly warned him to be quiet. Why? Because you're being a nuisance. You're being a nuisance. Be quiet, you blind beggar. And so Bartimaeus said, "Okay, you lot are shouting at me. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop shouting at you." He didn't do that, did he? I'm glad someone's following along with me. He said, "No," but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So he's calling for something now. He's calling for mercy. And I don't know, as I'm reading this, for me, I've got a picture in my mind I believe that in the course of all of our lives, the message of Jesus will pass us, will cross us somewhere along the line, cross our paths. And the Lord wants us to recognize that basically we are all blind, right? We're all blind, we're all destitute, we're all in need. And Jesus longs for people not just to see him as some random dude from Nazareth, but to see him as Messiah, the King of Glory, the one who is making his way to the cross to take away our sins. And within this, Bartimaeus cannot see physically, but spiritually something's happening inside, and he receives a revelation. He bears witness to the truth. His heart, his physical eyes can't see, but his heart can see. Can you see that? His heart can see. And he knew he needed to respond. And so he cried out to the Lord. And maybe within a different way, maybe many of us can relate to this, where we found ourselves, or we find ourselves in a situation where we really need to cry out to the Lord. We really need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't know what is going. I need to cry out to you to help me in this situation. Bartimaeus is looking for mercy, isn't he? He's asking for mercy, which made me think about the many times we see in Scripture where people cry out to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, look for the book of Judges. It's like we have that sequence where the children of Israel sort of like will be disobedient to God, and then they will cry out. He will send the deliverer. They'll be all right for about a generation, 40 years or anything. And then they'll go disobedient again. And then they'll cry out to the Lord. And he will respond. And you just see this pattern happening in the book of Judges. But I was thinking about in the book of Psalms. Psalm 82 to 84:2, which says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Ever got to a place where your heart and your flesh cries out to the living God? Ever been in that place of desperation? Psalm 34:17, the righteous, you know, they do something. They cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. See, these are promises within the Scriptures. Psalm 57:2, I will cry out to the God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. See, it's personal. Psalm 119:146. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. So many verses, so many verses within the Scriptures which speak about crying out to the Lord. And the Lord's response is that he would hear, that he would deliver. And so Bartimaeus, he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me, because he needed to find a way to get Jesus' attention. And so, I've already said it, but what is he asking for? Mercy. He's asking for mercy. And what is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. That's mercy. Whereas grace is actually getting what we don't deserve. He's crying out for mercy here. Son of David, have mercy on me. So he recognized Jesus as the Son of David, as the Messiah, and the one who was able or is able to offer him something which he could not produce himself, which no one around him could offer him, because they would have offered him already, wouldn't they? But he's looking to Jesus for mercy. And so what does Jesus do? He demonstrates to his disciples exactly what he had previously said to them. He said, basically, whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even who? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So now look at Jesus now. Watch the movements of our great high priest. Look at the servant heart of God just unfold. So Jesus stood still. You see, in your own circumstance, maybe you feel like you're going through something and Jesus has just walked on by. Jesus, have you actually heard my prayer? Jesus, are you going to intervene in my situation? Maybe you feel like Jesus has not heard you. He's walked on by. But no, Jesus, he stood still here. He's willing to intervene. He's ready to intervene. He's on a mission. I'm actually going to Jerusalem to pay for the sins of the world. But you know what? I've got time for you, Bartimaeus. I can stand. So he stood. And he's going to respond to this act of faith by Bartimaeus. And, you know, I believe that Jesus always wants to respond to acts of faith. And as I said, like, you may be thinking, well, Jesus is not acting in my situation. And he's not acting in my situation, and so what to do? Which made me think of the book of Daniel. I think I mentioned it yesterday in the men's meeting, that there's sometimes within our lives where you may have prayed for something. Has anybody prayed for anything and you haven't had answer to prayer? And have you ever thought to yourself, Lord, I really don't know what's going on because I've asked you things and I've been praying, I've been, you know, seeking you for this thing for so long and there's been no answer. And what made me think, and it always makes me think of the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, it says how Daniel set his face to find some answers from the Lord. And I think 2 or 3 weeks had gone past and nothing had happened. And so what happens is the angel of the Lord, Michael, comes to him and says, do you know what, Daniel? From the moment you set your request there, I was basically dispatched to answer your prayer. But I've been having to wrestle with the Prince of Persia for all this time. And so it's taken me this long to get through to you. And I'm saying all this just to say that within your situation, you may have prayed about something, but there's things going on in another realm, another dimension, a spiritual that which you're unaware of. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, and so you cannot just forget about those things. And sometimes maybe you do need to press in. Maybe sometimes you just need to, you know, just leave it at the Lord's feet and allow him just to, you know, minister when he wants to minister. So anywho, because I haven't got my notes down here now, what verse am I at? If you're following. Someone tell me.
Verse 49.
49, there we go. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. So now you see a shift. You see a shift with the crowd now. Instead of telling him to be quiet, and now it's like, oh, the master's calling you. You know, you've got an audience of one now. And so, basically, he comes to Jesus. And I love what verse 50 tells us, because it says that as they now sort of like, they must have brought him, you know, aided him in some way. Verse 51 is brilliant. No, 50, sorry. He says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. See, Bartimaeus wasn't thinking about, he's just thinking about, look, anything which is going to hinder me from getting to Jesus, I'm just going to cast to one side because I need to get to Jesus. And so what does he do? He's got this robe, and this robe would have been sort of like, you know, layers of material. And he's like, forget that. He pushes it to one side because he needs to get to Jesus. Again, it makes me think of some, oftentimes we come to the Lord, and we come to the Lord with all of our baggage. All of our, it's like we come to the Lord because we bring everything with him. And it's like, you know what? You need to cast those things aside. Leave those things to one side. which is hard because we all have a BC, right, before Christ. And everyone's BC is different. And sometimes it's hard just to kind of like push those things to one side. But when we come to Christ, we are new creations, right? We're new creations, you know what I mean? All things have been passed away, right? Behold, all things have become new. And so it's a thing where it's retraining your mind through studying the scriptures to forget those things which are behind and then finding a way to keep pressing forward for the prize, which it, for the mark of the goal, which was the upward calling in Christ Jesus, however it goes. And so he pushes aside his garment. And I love this again. So Jesus answered and said to him, and this is brilliant as well. You may have caught it, you may not. But it tickles me. He says to them, what do you want me to do for you? The exact words he said to James and John. The exact words. You've asked me for something. What do you want me to do for you? He's not saying, "What you want you to receive your sight, so what can you do for me?" Well, he's not saying that, is he? He's being a servant. He's having that servant heart, that servant attitude, and he's asking blind Bartimaeus, who is a beggar, he's asking him, what can I do for you, Bartimaeus? He's demonstrating to his disciples, this is the heart of a servant. I don't need to stop here for blind Bartimaeus, but I will stop here for blind Bartimaeus. And I will try, and I will meet his need. And so Bartimaeus now says, Rabboni, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. You see, by calling Jesus Rabboni, you know, again, within the original language, it's a sign of personal faith within Jesus as being Rabboni, my master, that I may receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And as he followed Jesus on the road, what would Bartimaeus, in just a few days, because we're a few days from the crucifixion, what would he see? I mean, next week we're going to look at the triumphal entry. So he's going to see now. He was blind. He couldn't see anything, but now he can see. And he's on the journey, he's on the road now with Jesus and the masses. And he's going to start seeing the people crying out, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's going to start witnessing all these things and seeing all these things with his eyes. He's going to be the first experiences of sight he's going to have. And I can only say that when we come into the kingdom, it's like a similar thing. I mean, for me, the sky looks bluer. I appreciated life a lot more, you know, creation. It was just brilliant. You know, the little things just seem to matter a lot more. And so that's what the Lord does when we come into relationship with him. He kind of like, he makes things better in that sense. My situation may not be any better, but my outlook, the way I view things, is better. You know, we always say that the Lord doesn't promise us an easy ride, but he promises to get us to the other side, amen? He promises to get us to the other side. And so, knowing that, we just have to remain faithful to him. We just have to know that he's got our best interests at heart. And so, We know that there was two beggars there. So this would have been a double healing, really, wouldn't it? It would have been, it would have healed him. We don't know what happened to the other beggar, because he's not mentioned. But these men received this final miracle before Jesus goes to the cross. And the other miracle would be the resurrection, right? But this is the last miracle, which is basically written off by John Mark within this gospel account. And so it's interesting. It's a powerful story of how, which we should all really be able to relate to. We're all at one point walking in darkness, living in darkness, doing our own thing. We were all, whether we thought of it in this way or not, we were all sitting there in the journey of life because we weren't going anywhere because it wasn't with Christ. But then we come into a relationship with the Lord and he gives us a purpose. He has that plan for our lives and everything. And he wants us to now journey with him as he wants to outwork what he's depositing within our hearts, within our minds. Amen. And so, yeah. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. I love it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you give us these descriptions of people who came into saving faith, Lord, and they encourage us. They encourage us, Lord. I mean, I'm sure Bartimaeus didn't think that his name would be written in the scriptures, Lord, and people would be able to read about him roughly 2,000 years later, Lord. But this is just evidence, Lord, as how you're so interested in all of our lives. You could have walked on by. And if you walked on by, you'd never touch his heart, touch his eyes. No one could turn around and say, well, you're a bad God. You know, you're not compassionate. No, Lord. But it just shows us your heart, your character, your nature. And we're so grateful, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that these characteristics, these attributes which you have, Lord, that they will just be manifest within our lives, Lord. That we'd be compassionate, Lord, that we'd be willing to serve, that we'd be willing to go the extra mile, that we would be humble, Lord, and that we'd represent you as best as we can, Lord. And so give us opportunity, Lord, to put these things in practice and in place today and through the rest of this week, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.